welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Thanks, guys. You doing all right? Just open your mouths for me. Just move it a bit. You doing okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. Dan, just come and stand next to me a moment. Serves you right for wearing that T-shirt. My message today is about God's dream is bigger than your reality.
Yes, come on.
So, sorry? Did you get me one? All right, okay. Live the dream. Turn to the person next to you and say, I want to live the dream. To live the dream, I need to know what the dream is. Thanks, Dan. You can jump over. My name's Jonathan. Andrew is one of our leadership team down in Worthing here. It's great to spend a bit of time with you guys, some familiar faces, some unfamiliar ones, and to be honest, some really dodgy faces in the crowd today. But we love you. Why is everybody looking at me? Everybody's looking at you. That's a bit rude, isn't it? It's great. We can just look at a couple of things in Scripture, but the first thing I just want to say is a really big well done to everybody that came up to Horsham on Wednesday to our victory in prayer. And we only have three of those a year. That was the second one. And it was a tremendously, for me, a tremendously pressing time. What I mean is that there was just a sense of God pressing, coming upon us as people, coming upon me, coming upon those that were there. But in that, it was about his presence being expressed in his purpose. And obviously last Wednesday, we were praying really into Faith Camp and everything that God wants to do at Faith Camp. And Pastor Clive, our senior pastor, kind of hosted that and led that through a little bit. But what I was so encouraged about was the fact that near the end, about the last 15 or 20 minutes, there was an opportunity for some of our youth and children's leaders to come and really share what God had put in their heart. And although these people had not chatted beforehand, some of them don't even live in West Sussex, some of them actually came across from Kent, pretty much God was saying the same thing to everybody. How many of you know that only the invisible God can arrange things like that? I think that's pretty awesome. And what I like is that as these people were standing in front of us, you know, people responsible for 0 to 2 year olds and their mums or dads or 18 year olds and whatever, is that they were sharing a dream. They might have only had like 90 seconds, but I think when you hear a dream being shared, I don't know about you, but with me, it captures something in my heart that God has put there. Becky, you know what I'm talking about. Is that when people are sharing a dream, they're sharing something that they, for them it's as true as your reality is true. It does something in my heart. I love to be spending time with dreamers, not daydreamers. Daydreamers I find have an opposite effect on me. They kind of wind me up a little bit. They come across pretty spiritual until you ask them to do something and then they're not there. Now, I like people who dream because when people dream, I can see something tomorrow as if it was today. And it inspires me to think, yeah, one day we're going to see this, 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 and this. On Wednesday night, the victory in prayer for me was that kind of experience, was I could see thousands of people, regardless of their age, regardless of their background, regardless of how long they'd known God or not, suddenly getting caught up with the presence of Jesus. I could get this sense of dream where not only were they being caught up with the presence of Jesus, but Jesus was being caught up with them. I think that's extraordinary, don't you? Sometimes we forget that Jesus loves to be around on Sundays as long as we love him first. Sunday actually isn't really for us, is it? It's for God. But I loved it at the VIP. I loved the fact that there was just such a sense of timelessness. I've been at some meetings, and I'm sure many of you have, where we think, you know, is that it? Or, you know, when's the real important thing going to happen? Or, you know, when's God going to bring me a word? Or when's God going to touch my life? And what Wednesday night was about is that God is saying, I'm ready, get on with it. I think sometimes for us, when we understand that there's a dream maker and a dream liver and a dream expresser, we can be saying, God, when are you coming? And God says, well, just get on with it. I'm here. So I think our dream is closer to our reality than we may think today. Is that all right to say that? Your dream is just a breath away. I dream all kinds of things. I dream it for my own life, for our family. We spent pretty much all of yesterday. I was getting beaten up by a four-year-old pretty much all of yesterday. And not the four-month-old, because he's not hard enough yet, but the four-year-old, he's hard. So he douches you. He's like a ninja. He runs around like a loony. And he loved his expression of love towards me is he bruises me a bit. And I love it. His name is Saxon, which means swordsman. And he's getting training to be a swordsman. And he's using me as target practice at the moment. It's brilliant. I love it. But when I see him running around, and when I see Kader running around, and when I see my son and my daughters running around, God reminds me of the dream he's got that he's given me for them. And it excites me in my heart. And as we kind of look into some of the scriptures in a moment, God wants to excite you. He wants to agitate some of you. He wants to aggravate some of you. He wants to stir us up a little bit today. Because I think God's dream is bigger than our reality ever will be. As we were praying over these last couple of weeks, probably month now, is God began to share a little bit of a dream of what Faith Camp, what this one week when we take over, literally take over, the East of England Showground, which is, I think, is the second biggest public arena that you can get in the UK. We've been there for many years. And God has a dream for that piece of grass and those buildings. And it's not to sell thousands of sheep, but it is to gather thousands of sheep. Woo-hoo! Did you like what I did there? God has a dream for this big patch of grass where it's not so that we can go and count the blades of grass, but so that we know that we can meet with Jesus as individual bits of grass, but we're all part of the same lawn with a purpose and a destiny. Is God wants to meet with youth and young people and young men, young women, old people, old men, women, in this one week, because in that one week of time, our dreams can become true. And realities can be changed. And as we've been praying for this week in particular, God has dropped in black and white, and I'm just going to share this thought with you. God has dropped what we perceive is his dream for this week. So I'm just going to read it out. It comes out of the Bible. Have you heard of the Bible? The Bible is God's thoughts, but in a way that we can understand it. It's not mysterious. It's not magical. There's nothing particularly unusual about the Bible, except God thought of every word. God inspired every word and got every word written down. All of the Bible is useful, the Bible says, for all kinds of things. But this is what God says in one bit of the Bible in Deuteronomy. That's the law. That's the bit we're supposed to do. You know that, don't you? We're supposed to do that. There's a couple of choices in the Bible. Deuteronomy's got some good ones. In chapter 28, it says, if you love me and follow me, you're going to get more blessed than you can handle. But if you don't, you're on your own. Good choice. How many of you like a choice like that? So God's dream is to give us more than we can handle. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, God says this, and he's saying this about camp. I believe he's saying this about your life, and he's certainly saying this about my life. And God says this, and now Israel, or Kingdom Faith, or church, however you want to apply this, what does the Lord your God ask of you? There's a question. This is God's dream coming in a contextual form. But to fear the Lord your God. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to be afraid of God. It means we hold him in high reverence. I don't know whether we have spent some of our Christian walk or whether we know Jesus or not. Maybe we think God is a God to be feared and we run away from him. But actually, the fear of the Lord is attractional. The fear of God doesn't push us away. It draws us close. The fear of the Lord that God is talking about is he's saying, I've got a dream for your life, and this dream is bigger than every fear that you're going to have to deal with in your reality. This dream is bigger than everything that's trying to stop you from meeting me. My dream is bigger than your fears. My dream is bigger than your what if. What if God's not real? He is. I've heard him. Many of you have heard him. I've experienced his presence. I went to visit Sheila on Friday, and we had a tremendous time. What did we have a tremendous time doing? Us being with Jesus. and great grace and great faith were in the room because Jesus was there. This scripture goes on and says this. God says, fear the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Well, I've found this in the few years that I have followed Jesus, is if I really, really, really want to honor God or really live a life that is in the right sense of fearing God or revering him, I'm going to do what he asked me to do. So God's dream helps us deal with fears and also helps us do the right thing. How many of you want a dream like that? How many of you try every day to do the right thing and kind of get up and it's boom, you kind of get up and it... How many of you like that? You kind of get up, run a bit, and suddenly... Come on, we got any honest people in the room. Stuart, mate, nice hair. We got some honest people. Robert's another man. All the men go, huh. I said men, not the women. All the men go, huh. Oh, that was hopeless. We'll take you outside and beat you up. So God's dream deals with our fears and also deals with our obedience. I don't know how well we do what God says. Only God knows, but we can see the results of it. Because when we're doing the stuff that God wants us to do, certain things follow our life. The dream does. Part of God's dream is that he wants goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life. It's a dream of God. I like that kind of dream, don't you? And it goes on and says this. Love him. How many of you love Jesus? How many of you did the last thing Jesus said? Sorry, trick question. And most of you got it because you're smart. We can't say that we love Jesus until after we've done the last thing he said. Because I don't think this dream of Jesus is to have a load of people going around saying, love Jesus, love Jesus, love Jesus, love Jesus. Oh, where are you, Jesus? I was over there. It isn't Jesus' dream to have a whole bunch of people just going around with the lovey-doveys. The dream of Jesus is to have a people who follow him because they love him so much. The dream of Jesus is to have a whole bunch of people that just do what he said because they don't want to do anything else. This is the dream of Jesus. How do we express that? Well, kind of in the same way God did. In John 3, it says, God so loved the world, his dream was, I'm going to give something to the world. He gave the best he had, his son. Goes on here, to serve the Lord your God with all, say all. All your heart and with all your soul. This is the dream of Jesus for you and for me. Is he wants us to be in such relationship with him. All fear goes. All what if, coulda, woulda, shoulda disappears. And what comes in sense is just yes, Lord. Because out of that comes service. I think God's got a dream for this congregation, which is to serve this town. I don't mean go around doing loads of stuff, because there's loads of people out there that do loads of stuff, but go around doing things which God has inspired. Because we can all do stuff. But you would have heard me say loads of times is there is a fundamental difference between being busy and being fruitful. They're not the same thing. They're not even spelt the same. And this dream of God is I want you to be abundantly, extraordinarily, outrageously fruitful. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's true for you. And to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. I love this thing about God's dream. God doesn't dream for himself. He dreams for you and for me. God's dream is bigger than our reality. It's bigger than our longings. It's bigger than our imaginations. It's bigger than the media tells us. It's bigger than our job prospects. It's bigger than our financial stability. Now, God's dream is eternal. It's huge. It's massive. God's dream is big. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens. And we can have a whole theological discussion about levels of heaven and Gehenna and Sheol and Shalom. But most of those aren't even made yet, so let's not go there. I don't want to bore you with what is going to happen one day. I want to talk to you about the truth. And the truth is God's got a dream which is bigger than your now. It's higher than your heaven. It's higher than the last time you had a time with Jesus. It's bigger than the last time you prayed and God moved. I thank God for the testimonies. But this is just drip feeding of God's dream. This isn't it yet. This is a step in the right direction, right? I love these, but this is not the full dream for you and for me. This is to encourage us into the next level. The next level is anything you ask, for all shall receive. In fact, you can ask and imagine, and I'll still do more. That's the dream of God. Why? Because God's position is above all, above everything we can imagine, everything that stacks itself against us. Even death is not above God. Everybody dies. It's statistically proven. Scientists spent thousands of years, and they come up with this conclusion: 1 out of people die. But the dream of God is that when you die here, you'll live with me forever. So even that is less than God's dream for you and for me. He wants you and I to live with him eternally. That's the power of the dream of God. Then as I was kind of just praying and thinking about today and thinking about what Worthing and, you know, this tremendous opportunity that we have to work with 9 other churches. And it's been a nightmare, to be honest with you. It's been really fun. It's been amazing. Sat in a room, locked in a room with all kinds of people who just don't think the same way as I do. It's mad. It's like, well, I'm going to shoot myself in a minute. This is amazing. But in the midst of it all, God is saying to me, not one congregation on its own can meet the dream of God. It was never supposed to, and it never will. However, every aspect has to reach its fat portion. So I've been sitting in a room with pioneer leaders, New Frontier leaders, Elim leaders, Methodist leaders, Church of England leaders, and us. We're just weird people. But right in the center has been the dream. Because the dream deals with preconceptions. The dream deals with preferences. The dream deals with our own concepts. And as we were gathering around this dream about Broadwater, our dream is this, is that 7,000 people would find the God that describes himself like this. Is that between 10, and it is 10, not 1, right, I've shot the comms guy so I can fix it, is that actually between 10 and 4, 7,000 of your neighbours, your friends, people that you've probably met, people that you may have been praying for, people that may have served you in a shop, people that you might have been in a bus queue with, people that maybe you've just not given them a lift because you didn't know who they were, but 7,000 people from around here are going to meet that God. That's our dream. That's our dream. Which is why we're going to be running a healing tent. What's that? A tent where there's healing. It's not a tent that needs healing. What? So what? Wet tent. Okay. Yes. Well, on the inside, yeah. The outside, it could be. Yeah. Just canvassing your view then, is it? Whatever. So we have a dream that in just about a week's time, 7,000 people are going to encounter this kind of God. But let me tell you something. We can pray and we're praying. We can serve and we serve. But unless our dream is bigger than the reality of the grass, people are just going to have a good time, not a God time. So we've pitched it high. We're expecting people to give their lives to Jesus. We're expecting everybody that's sick that responds to get healed. We're expecting people all through the day to be touched and impacted by the gospel of Jesus. That's our dream. So if you want to be part of that, then maybe you just got to dream bigger. Well, on Saturday, I'm busy. Yeah, but are you fruitful for Jesus? I don't know the answer to that. I know that sometimes we just have to ask the question. Well, I've got other things to do. Great. But is it part of the dream or is it just part of our own? I don't know the answer to that either. All I know is that there is a day, and it's called the 18th of July, where God wants to reveal some of this to people around this town. Some of us are doing stuff already. I know that. Then live the dream where you are. Can I just ask you to do that? And then moving on, as I was kind of just thinking and praying this, there's 2 scriptures I want to look at. I'm going to do a little bit of a Bible study for Colin because he's into that. So that we understand a little bit the context here. These are 2 scriptures that God has given me for you. Oh, I'll just talk to the lectern. Hey, lectern, how you doing? It is a dream that God has given in my heart for you as people. Do you want to know what that is? Marie does. I think that was, did you do something? You went, that probably means something somewhere, doesn't it? I've no idea what that means. Going to look at two scriptures. They were written around about a similar time, which was about 52 AD, so a little while ago. They're written by the same person to the same group of people, but there are some distinctives in the two pieces of scripture. I'm just going to comment on them. So we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Great piece of the Bible. I love it. It's very inspirational. And it says here, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you. I love that, that the dream that God has put in my heart is that you, me, we live in the grace and the peace of Jesus all the time. It's a constant now. It's not something around the corner, but there's a sense of now I'm living in the grace and now I'm living in the peace of God. And I found in my experience that the only way that we can live at peace with God is to know the fear of God. That reverent fear. In that place, he brings his servants peace, the Bible says. It goes on and says this. I always, I'm going to make this personal if you allow me to for a moment. I always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in my prayer. Now, I don't know how you would kind of say that. You might think, well, that's a bit proud, that's a bit whatever. Can I just position it like this? Since I've been the congregational leader, I've prayed for you more than anybody else. And I don't even know who half of you are. But that's actually not what Paul is saying. He's just praying for you, mentioning you. I mentioned, like, yeah, I'm just praying for camp and, you know, all this stuff. And by the way, you know, Colin Isabel, bless them today. Give them a healthy day. Oh, I'm just praying for this and that. And it's like, yeah, Robert needs a new car. Lord, I thank you, you've got a new car for him. Have you got that? Because when you get caught up with the dream gets caught up in your heart. The dream doesn't want to stop between our ears. The dream wants to become a reality. So every time I look out, it's like, oh, yeah, Jesus, I know you're going to meet with that one today. Yeah, we've been praying about Richard and Sharon. Yeah, bless them, Lord. Strengthen them and Dan and Becca. Yeah, come on. It's not loads of prayer and a fasting and gritting of teeth. It's, come on, let the dream become their reality, Jesus. Blow their minds with what you're doing and saying. Because we need our minds blowing. I mean, just have a look at, well, maybe not. Just look at ourselves. If you were still where I am, you know what I'm talking about. Just look at ourselves. God wants to blow our thinking. And it goes on and says this. We always thank God, continually mentioning you in our prayers. I remember before our God, your work produced by faith, not just because of pressure or need or self-ambition, but faith. God said, so we did it. God just said, let's do it. So let's do it then. I love the heart in this congregation. I love it. People just want to have a go. Most people that are having a go don't really know what they're doing totally. They just find out on the way. But they want to go. Why? Because their dream of being fruitful is bigger than their lack of knowledge, if you like. And I love that about you guys. I love that about this congregation is, yeah, there's a willingness. We want to be the dream. We want to live something beyond ourselves. Come on, Louisa, we'll have it. Your labor prompted by love. It's not because, oh, you know, my name's on a list, I better turn up. If you think like that, don't bother coming. Because my dream is my labor's prompted because I just want to give and give and give and give. I just want to love on someone. Just give me someone to serve. It's all gone quiet. Just give me someone to do an open house for. I love our, all the open house people at Host. I'm going to take you all out for dinner. We agreed that a leadership. I'm going to pay. They all agreed that for me. I don't mind. But we're going to take you all out for dinner, right? We're just setting that up. So all of the hosts, whoever's hosted an open house in the autumn, we're going to take all of you out for dinner. And show you how it's done. No, not at all. Now I'm going to show, I'm going to get in such trouble. And you know, don't you? I'm going to take you all out for dinner. Why? Because it's a labor prompted by love. is not out of duty or out of some sense of, well, you know, I better do something with them. No, we love you guys. We love you guys because you do stuff without any sense of reward coming. Is that you give time without expecting to be given profile for it. That's what labor produced by love is about. Do you understand that? This is the thing Paul's talking about. And your endurance, which maybe some of you are doing right now. It's like, when's he going to shut up? When I finished. Philip, I thought you were thinking that. I just thought I'd mention that. Agree. You're not supposed to agree. Mate, my small group is awesome. Not my small group, it's Richard's. Richard, it's your fault. Your endurance inspired by hope. Because I think dreamers kind of live with a different motivation. The dreamers want to produce by faith. They're not producing by loads of good works and deeds. No, no, God has said it, let's do it. I believe dreamers, the reason why they do what they do is because they love the person at the end of it more than what they're doing. And I believe dreamers just endure. It's just like, one day, one day, one day, one day we're going to be in the biggest hall in Worthing. One day there's going to be 1,000 people rocking up to meet with Jesus on a Sunday. You might think that's a bit proud. It is not. That's my hope. One day. Have you got that? That was written in about 52. This was written in about 53 AD. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Same people. Paul, Silas, his work colleague, and Timothy. To the church of Thessalonians in God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, very similar. Grace and peace to you. I love that again. Man, I want to be this kind of letter writer. I want to be this kind of communicator that even though I left grace and peace first time, I'm going to do it again a second time. Why? Because God wants dream makers to make sure all grace abounds. Never run out of grace. For a dreamer, nothing is too much. Nothing is too far. Nothing is too hard because grace abounds. Whee! It goes on and says this. We always ought to thank you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so. Look at this. Because your faith is growing. This was only a year afterwards. Something happened to these people after the first letter that now is saying, that is getting bigger. How many of you want to get bigger in your faith? Okay, I qualify that. You looked at me and I totally, I'll give the discernment. It's like, is he being cheeky? No, I'm not. How many of us want to grow bigger in our faith? What this tells me is that when we do the first bit, the second bit happens. My faith grows as I produce something with it. It's called work. So I have a dream, and that is we work more going forward than we've ever done behind us, but not out of a slavishness, but out of a sense of faith and destiny. And it goes on and says this, and the love all you have for one another is, come on, speak it out, don't mumble, increasing. Don't you just love that? They were known before for a labor prompted by love, but now it's increasing. Why? Because there's more laboring. Not less, there's more, but it's by love. It's not by law. I just love this. This is such a key scripture. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance. I get into trouble sometimes at our senior leadership teams. I'm just going to own up to this. Because I sit there listening to all of the issues and all of the problems that there are here and here. And I'm sitting there thinking, we're not like that. Or, now we need to get more people helping to set up on a Sunday. Well, we're not like that. But I don't boast. I just boast to myself and to my wife. So we boast in secret. However, it's not boasting in the sense of, look what we can do. is boasting in the sense that look at the faith, look at the love, and look at the hope in the people that are coming. Now, sometimes we need to be reminded of that, because maybe sitting on your chair, you don't think you're any of those. But you need to stand where I am sometimes and just thank God for it. Which is what Paul's doing. Because there is tremendous sense of the labor produced by love and the works of faith and the endurance inspired by hope. We've got people setting up these buildings that have no idea really what they're doing. Just let you know that. But love conquers all, including ignorance. It's really funny. I mean, I have no idea what I'm doing either. Whenever we sit around the table and say, you know, what's happening on Sunday? Well, this is happening, that's happening. They ask me, so I really have no idea. But we pray, we do the last thing God says, and God seems to do something. You don't have a running order. I'm not running anywhere. How do you know which bits come where? I said, I have no idea. We just kind of stand up, get on with it, and then see what happens. And do people come? Yes, they do. Do people stay? If they want. Do people come back? Usually. Do people not come back? I have no idea. All I know is that what we value of these commodities, faith that grows, but it only grows through work. Doesn't just grow by reading the Bible and praying in tongues. Your potential grows, but it doesn't grow until you make it work. We love these people because there's love there. And love isn't about going around being all huggy and kissy, although if you want to do that with me, it's fine, but just make sure my wife's around. Unless it is my wife, in which case you can clear off and leave us to it. But I am now in such trouble. That was a prophetic word from Norton. Toast. But what I'm saying is that our working together, which for me is indicative of love, is increasing. And then for those who just get involved in a similar kind of thing, repeat, you know, there's a kind of a sense of habit around it, or repetitive application around it, but you just do it because you're inspired. Someone like Dan and Becca, you know, giving time out. Dan's on a kind of a bit of a crossroads. He's kind of hearing God about his future and his destiny. But I know that their dream is for youth. Where are they? I'll tell you where they are. I'm there. Well, we don't have any young people. Bring them then. That's the difference between a dreamer and a holidaymaker. We don't have any young people. Well, bring some. You were young once, if you can remember what that was like. Bring some. But I know they've got a dream for young people in them, because that's why I spend time with them. Have you got that? Because dreamers always carry the reality of their dream greater than the reality of their now. I do. That's why some of you are like, oh, we whatever. You know, if people come up to me and say, you know, you're speaking to this. Why? Because I'm speaking to 1,000 people, not 50 people. So what you don't want, leave on the seat, because we'll pick it up next week when we come back. Or tomorrow when a whole load of students come in here, they just don't know Jesus. It stays in the seat. Because my dream is to fill this building and every other building until we run out of buildings. Because we'll run out of buildings before we run out of God. So living in the body of Christ causes us to grow in our inspiration, in our prompting, in our producing of faith, in our hope, and in our love encounter. And I think they are ingredients which produce these three things: work, labor, and endurance. We weren't made to endure alone. We weren't designed to work in our own sphere. And we weren't supposed to labor without a co-laborer. That's why Jesus is inside the body of Christ, the church. So that we have people to do all these things with. So these are what the world is looking for, I think. I'm just going to draw this to a close. This is what the world is groaning for. The Bible says the world is groaning for you and me to show ourselves. Hello, we're here. It's not in a sense of look at me, look at me, look at me. It's just look at what God can do. But there's a sense outside the safety of these really nice media-friendly, TV-friendly black walls, which are awesome, if you like black walls, where a world is saying, show me and tell me. That's their dream, but it's not mine. And I don't think it's most of yours either. Our dream is come and taste and see that God is good. Come and taste and see that Jesus is real. The dream is what God has sown into your life and is now watching over it and watering it and guarding it. The dream is the pulse and the increase in heartbeat of this congregation. We're not here for ourselves. Probably most of us, if we're really honest, could think of something else that we could do on a Sunday morning other than come here and sit on a blue chair. We do it, I hope, because we have faith in Christ. Because we love God enough to love people around us. And to know that there's a hope that we carry that the world doesn't have. I believe that's what is in our hearts. So that's what's in my heart, and I'm sure it's in yours. So if you don't feel up to it, look up. If you don't feel like it, look up. If you don't know where to start, look up and then look out. But if you want to start somewhere, start right where you are. If you know Christ, your hands were made to reproduce. God says this, a little bit after this scripture, I will bless the work of your hands. The work of. Not the shirk of. Not the maybe. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. No, the work of. There is something that God has put in your hands that you can do something with, and in that God will increase. Now, you'll know what that is. All I'm saying is, come on, let's prove God is true here. If you want to find out how to love people, this kind of follows on a little bit from Colin's awesome message last week, and hopefully everybody's had lunch now. Is somebody? If not, you've got this week to do it. It's another aspect of love, is this labor. Okay, let me take someone out for dinner. I'm going to take the open house host out for dinner with me. About a month ago, I took all of the people that run a Sunday morning out with me. Is that right? And they didn't pay for that either. God did. So it's not about payment. It's about honor. It's about the labor produced by love. And then thirdly, hope. If you know Christ today, you have had such a hope, such a dream that your world can change, your future can be different. You have such a hope that what you have is not all that you can have, which nothing can quench, the Bible says. This hope that you carry is beyond aggression or sickness or disease or financial lack or financial plenty. Because sometimes people in plenty lose their focus just in the same way as people who don't lose their focus, I have found. But I believe church, where we are, Kingdom Faith, that's part of our DNA, if you like, is we are the setting where dreams become the reality for other people to put their trust in a God-shaped dream. Just like his T-shirt. We're all living the dream. I'm into social media a little bit. Shane, I love Shane. I'm one of his followers. Oh, Father Shane. There's a lot of things on there that are aspirational. Follow the dream, live the thing. And I look at that and think, find Christ and you'll get all of that. Be this size, be this shape, be this wealthy. Give your life to Jesus and it won't matter. Follow this, follow that. Buy this car, press this thing. Find out how high your IQ is. The first thing is to try and find out how to get there. If you get there, you've probably got an IQ of 100 just to get there. Find Christ and let him become your dream. Let him become the hope and the love and the reason, the inspiration. Yes, there's perspiration, but let him be the dream. Because when he is, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Let's all stand up, shall we? I've heard the second urn go on to steam. So sometimes it's a one-urn message. This one is a two-urn message. Let's close our eyes, shall we? It does all go dark if you've not heard that before. It's true. It's fine. I'm going to go on and pray in a moment. And then kind of when I've drawn this to a conclusion, we're going to have an opportunity to give to the Lord. But I want us to give ourselves first. I think God is much more interested in the wealth of our lives than his wealth in our pocket. I just want to kind of collate all these thoughts. You are God's dream. God had a dream that he was going to pour out his Holy Spirit on all flesh, and you are flesh. Men, women, slave free, old, young. We will be one of those. So God's dream to see his kingdom come and his life expressed looks a bit like you. His dream to be fulfilled is him working through you and through me, through the body of Christ. So we're still involved with it. The difference is that when God begins to heal people and rescue people and save people and set people free, we can't take the credit. We put the credit up to where the dream came from. Now, I don't know about you, but man, I'm really challenged in my heart around my faith, love, and hope. It's just like, Lord, I know there's more than this. What God is saying, when find me in a new way. God, I know you can do more than I've been seeing. And what he says is, then just wait with me a bit longer. That's how God deals with the works of our flesh, is that we want to see God do more, and he says, well, just trust me more then. He doesn't say do more. He actually says do less, trust more. Which is kind of back to front. Father, I want to thank you for these awesome men and women here and for the others who are part of the congregation, part of the church. I thank you for their faith. I thank you for their love. I thank you for the hope that I see week after week, Wednesday after Wednesday, Tuesday after Tuesday, open house over open house. I see it. I thank you that that love is increasing because your presence is increasing. I thank you that those works prompted by love are increasing because we're trusting you a little bit more. And I thank you that the laboring, we're laboring for the 106,000 people who live just around the door of our lives who don't know you yet. But our hope is that many, many will. Our hope is that thousands of people over these years will come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And because of that hope, we're inspired to share the gospel, pray the gospel, preach the gospel, visualize the gospel. Just give the gospel out, because that is the power of salvation. And I don't know about anybody else in the room. All I can do is speak for myself and say, Lord, use me. I know you won't abuse me, but Lord, please use me. I want to see great exploits. I want to see great love. I want to see great works of God. Not for me, but for you, Jesus. And I thank you that you're setting us up for a fresh move of your power and of your spirit. Hallelujah. Time to turn this town upside down for Jesus. Any of you agree with that? And start with where God has put you. Start with the people God has put you with. If you can't immediately think of anybody, then pray. Pray. A work without faith is a work in vain. A labor without being inspired by love will be gone in a moment. And a hope that is not inspired is here today and gone tomorrow. And that is not who we are. We're not here to be blown off the face of relevancy because of a crisis. We're here for the long term. We're here to move a mountain and raise a valley. That's what you're here for. That's what I'm here for. as we were reminded two or three times as Andrew led us through, the kingdom of God is advancing. It is advancing.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.